Every day, I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice. I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice. I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice.
Hey there, Patriots. I am trying to get this going. I'm struggling here.
I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice.
I think I am.
Determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice. I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice. I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice. I wake up determined to deliver a better life for the people all across this nation that have been ignored, neglected, and abandoned. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, and they are forgotten, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard, but no longer have a voice. I am your voice.
Yes. Patriots, I hope you guys are having a great day. If you've been watching this whole her thing, this is just quite the day. I really think that this was a huge day of exposure on Joe Biden. So we're going to talk about that. But I'm so glad you're here. So let me know. Give me the thumbs up that you hear me, you see me. Everything's working well. So what I found out was that on the because we're trying to start streaming on Facebook. And I dare not put the link because I'll probably get banned, but I really want to try to be over on that digital battlefield. And so what I want you guys to do, I'm going to show you the page there, and so if you guys can go over there, and you guys hear me, right? You guys hear me okay? Everything's working this time? So I want you to go over on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/MelissaRedPill. Like I said, I'm not going to be putting a link on my website. I'm not going to be putting a link over on Telegram. I'm not going to, because if we do, then that's what happened before and I got banned. Okay. So go to facebook.com/, yay, thank you. I'm so glad. This has been such a challenge for me. Anyway, let's go to facebook.com/MelissaRedPill. Okay. And so, you know, I've been banned so many times. I'm like, if something doesn't work, I'm like, what's going on? And actually, pray for my Twitter because I don't know what I've done. I hope I'm not hitting a snag on that because the only way I can access it on my laptop, I don't know what's going on, is to go on with a tour, whatever, window. What do you call those things? A private window. So that's an interesting thing. But let me see if I can show you what is going on over there. This is the make sure you're over there. You guys check and see if it's working. Is that the one? No. Okay, let me pull it up over here. All right, so let's see if it's working over there on Twitter. Yes, we are. We're working. Welcome, Twitter people. Thank you for being so patient with me because I was trying to get this working on Rumble too. And so anyway, so if you can, you guys go over to twitter.com/MelissaRedPill. It's probably x.com/MelissaRedPill. I don't know, maybe whatever. So if you can please go over there and like and share and all that over on that, and we can help, that it can help us to get on this digital battlefield everywhere we can. So, and to keep, you know, good information coming out because people are, you know, not everybody's on Telegram. I love Telegram, but that's not really where, you know, a lot of the normies are over on Facebook and Twitter. So if you guys can help me out, that would be so great. Like I said, I'm not going to be putting the links anywhere. anywhere. So you guys have to go and type it in yourself, and you know, x.com/MelissaRedPill, facebook.com/MelissaRedPill. All right, so let's get started. Let me see if I can put this back. Okay, so here we go. This is such a challenge. All right, so this is, of course, our wonderful president, and this is today before her went to testify before the before Congress. He resigned. Did you guys hear that? He resigned. He says, I'm out of here. So, okay, what does that, that makes me think that he possibly, think with me, he possibly wanted to bring charges. But imagine yourself in this position. How is he going to bring charges if he knows that he will never be able to get any jury, D.C. or anywhere, but this would have been in D.C. I mean, and all it would have done was ruin him, and he wouldn't be able to get justice. He wouldn't be able to get, you know, he would have been lambasted. He, Lord only knows what they would have done to him if he had brought charges against Joe Biden. But he knows that what he put in this report is damning. It is, you know, either way, it's damning. If the man did this willfully, retained these documents and shared them with people, these classified documents, that is damning. And if he is, you know, incapacitated, whatever, not able to stand trial, that also is damning. And one of the things that you might not have heard about, that they talked about it today in the trial, in the congressional hearing, was that Biden had, in his whatever lawyers or whatever, had gone and back to him when they first saw the report before it was released to the public and said, we don't want you to release this. We want you to modify it. And he didn't. This is very, very interesting. Okay, so the other thing I want to show you, and I'm going to get to the end before I get to the beginning, is did you guys know about Hur in the Bible? Have you guys heard about Hur? H-U-R, spelled like this. Now, of course, they many times use, yes, it just started because I'm struggling, but thank you. I'm so glad you're here, Darcy McDaniel. Anyway, but yeah, Hur was a faithful patriot, a faithful assistant to Moses back in the day. And so when they were fighting the Amalekites, Hur went up and he was, you know, Moses was holding up his arms. As long as he would hold up his arms, that the battle would go toward, you know, they would start to win the battle. But if his arms went down, they would start to lose the battle. It was that obvious. So they said, we got to keep his arms up. So Aaron, the high priest, and Hur went up there and held his arms up because his arms were just so tired. And notice, I really like this picture because he's sitting on the stone of destiny. He's sitting on the stone of destiny. This is huge. There's so many things, so many moving parts. It's just super, super cool. But the stone of destiny is the one that Jacob found, the pillow. Remember the, and it's the first step in the ladder to heaven. And they carried this from then on. And this is the one that Moses struck and the water poured forth. Well, they would sit on this stone and whoever sat on it was coronated to be the king. I'm getting to go there. I can't even believe I'm going to get to go to Tara, T-A-R-A, where the first kings, the king and queen, from the two Zara lines, Pharez and Zara line from Judah, were married in Tara, Ireland. I'm going to get to go there. Oh, can't even believe it. Anyway, so that's going to be in June. Anyway, so yeah, so whenever they would sit on the stone would cry out to say, you know, this is the king, and in this case, it was Tiatefi. So super, super cool. And of course, the bad guys stole, the usurpers stole the stone, and they've had it in the throne that they built. It's tucked in this. It was their number one most prized possession. Anyway, I love this story so much. I love it so many to pieces. But this is what he is sitting on, this amazing stone that connects heaven and earth. And the Bible says that stone was Christ. So it's an amazing stone. They said it was their number one, like I said, number one most prized possession. He's sitting on this stone, and Hur is holding up his arms. Does that mean Hur is a good guy? You guys tell me in the comments, what do you think? What do you think? Tell me what you think. Yes, thank you so much, El Nicodemus 360. Please go ahead and hit like. Thank you so much, you guys. Hit the like button, because I always forget to do that. I get so focused on what we're talking about that I forget to do that. But yeah, do that also on x.com/MelissaRedPill. Also do it on facebook.com/MelissaRedPill. Go over there and like everything, because as soon as I have a presence over there, they'll let me post lives, but not until, so whatever. Okay, so let's get going. So I just want you to know that about her. I find this so interesting that his name is her, and just to put yourself in his position, we're so much wanting there to be justice, but these, you know, when you've got every DA and every judge in the pocket of the cabal, he is just one man against this behemoth, okay? So that makes it really, really difficult for him to do. But what he did was almost as good, really, in exposing this. But he went ahead and resigned before he went to Congress today. That's amazing. All right, so that's, I want you to see that. I got to write this down. You guys tell me when it's, I'm supposed to be doing this for like 40 minutes, and I'm, make sure and tell me, hey, Melissa, your time's up. It's 40 minutes. So anyway, all right, so I want you to see, this is one of the main things that to take away from today that he wanted everybody to know. He says, I knew that for my decision to be credible, I could not simply announce that I recommended no criminal charges and leave it at that. I needed to explain why. My assessment in the report about the relevance of the president's memory was necessary and accurate and fair. I did not sanitize my explanation. Nor did I disparage the president unfairly. Okay, so part of me says, okay, if her is part of the cabal, he would never have said such a thing, right? And they're angry with him, and they're saying, oh, his report is horrible, and he, how dare he come out with this report, and it's all hogwash and all that. So they're fighting against him, which makes me think maybe there's, you know, he did the best that he could. That's what it kind of makes me think. But again, I'm ready for you guys to tell in the comment section what you think. All right. So now, look at this. This guy, I don't want to, okay, to Mr. Tiffany. He said that, he said her is part of the Praetorian Guard protecting the elite. Check it out.
I mean, you're familiar with the work that the Oversight Committee has done over the last year, right?
I have read some reports of it.
I mean, 20 phone calls that were made to his son that he denied in 2019, 20 shell companies that were created, over $20 million. I mean, doesn't it appear there's a pattern here that where I come from, they almost call it money grubbing?
Congressman, what I'm here to testify about today is the work that I conducted in this investigation and in this report.
So I want to thank you for the work that you did as far as you could, but unfortunately, you are part of the Praetorian Guard that guards the swamp out here in Washington, D.C., protecting the elites, and Joe Biden is part of that company of the elites, and you see it in the things that the Department of Justice has not acted on, Mr. Chairman. I mean, you look at the president's son, who does not have to answer for lying on his form 4473, in regards to throwing away a weapon. You see it with Department of Justice fends off the IRS when the whistleblowers come with this information. Now we see it once again, where a president believes he is above the law, and there is no doubt that this president does believe he's above.
Isn't that interesting? There you go. He said he's part of the Praetorian Guard. Now, okay, sometimes I think that the white hats, I don't know if this man's a white hat, but I think sometimes the white hats attack a good guy so that it'll give them cover. I think that sometimes happens. But he did, and he also said that you protect the elite, of whom Joe Biden is one. So that was very interesting. So you guys can put in the comments what you think about that little comment right there. Okay, so here was his opening statement, and so I want to play a chunk of this because let him, the man, speak for himself.
I resolved to do the work as I did all my work for the department, fairly, thoroughly, and professionally, with close attention to the policies and practices that govern department prosecutors. My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. This evidence included an audio recorded conversation during which Mr. Biden told his ghostwriter that he had, quote, just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. When Mr. Biden said this, he was a private citizen speaking to his ghostwriter in his private rental home in Virginia. We also identified other recorded conversations during which Mr. Biden read classified information aloud to his ghostwriter. We did not, however, identify...
Did you catch that? He read classified information to his ghostwriter. I mean, this is damning. He read classified information to his ghostwriter.
Identified evidence that rose to the level of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Because the evidence fell short of that standard, I declined to recommend criminal charges against Mr. Biden. The department's regulations required me to write a confidential report explaining my decision to the Attorney General. I understood that my explanation about this case had to include rigorous, detailed, and thorough analysis. In other words, I needed to show my work, just as I would expect any prosecutor to show his or her work explaining the decision to prosecute or not. The need to show my work was especially strong here. The Attorney General had appointed me to investigate the actions of the Attorney General's boss, the sitting President of the United States.
So he's saying that he willfully retained and shared this information, but this would not be something that a jury would find him guilty. Well, because it would be maybe, and he didn't say this, but maybe because the jury would be of D.C. people. We know that President Trump can't get a fair trial in D.C., and we wouldn't get a guilty verdict in D.C., and her knows that. Her knows that. So maybe that's what he's saying without saying it, because he's saying very, very clearly that he was guilty. Okay, I want to play at the 236 mark. I shared these all on the social media. If you guys are not familiar with that, go to freedomforce.live, freedomforce.live, and go to the social media, and you will see all these. And make sure wherever you go, just make sure you share, like and share and subscribe, okay, on all these. All right, so something is up with my Twitter because I'm not able to get on here. I'm trying to go on x.com, and it's acting silly, but I don't know what's going on. Hopefully, I hope I don't get slammed, but whatever. Whatever, I've been slammed so many times, it's just, I guess I'm doing something right. Someone was telling me today, you must be doing something right. All right, so here's it, the 236 mark.
...obtained or disclosed national defense information willfully. That means knowingly and with the intent to do something the law forbids. I could not make that determination without assessing the president's state of mind. For that reason, I had to consider the president's memory and overall mental state and how a jury likely would perceive his memory and mental state in a criminal trial. These are
a D.C. jury.
Types of issues that prosecutors analyze every day. And because these issues were important to my ultimate decision, I had to include a discussion of them in my report to the Attorney General. The evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement. Quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage.
I just find it very funny, though. Funny, very strange, because... And of course, these people, they're getting called on the carpet because, you know, who are they? They don't even have classified credentials to be removing these documents to move them into his garage in these broken down boxes that he's going to tell later on. But, you know, I find it very funny that here he is, the documents that he has just happen to be about the Burisma case where they removed, fired Viktor Shokin. So, you know, he's saying these things, but it doesn't hold water. He's saying I couldn't get a jury to find him guilty. It's really what it boils down to. What do you guys think? All right, so now, okay, this was what Hearst said he did. Okay, so read this very carefully. I'll make it a little bit bigger. Kerr did not bring, he said he did not bring charges against Joe Biden because the evidence fell short of beyond a reasonable doubt. What a jury would find was beyond a reasonable doubt. Maybe what he's saying is that a D.C. jury would always find some reasonable doubt because these people have drunk the Kool-Aid so much that they would just accept anything that Biden does or any of their cronies would do. He says he did not retain and disclose willfully. One minute he's saying he did, one minute he's saying he didn't. He's saying he didn't bring charges because he didn't retain them and disclose them willfully, not because Biden could not stand trial due to incapacity. Didn't you guys find this in the discussion today? It's like one minute he's saying he did, and one minute he's saying he didn't, and maybe it's because he feels that the man is, as he was just saying in his opening statement, that Biden is not in control of his faculties, so we can't hold Biden accountable. So, anyway, very interesting. All right, so then this is Jim Jordan spent a lot of time playing the video of Joe Biden, and where he's clearly not in control of his mental faculties. Check it out.
Mr. Biden's President Biden's press conference after your report was released, because there's things in this press conference that the President of the United States says that are directly contradicted by what you found in your report. So if we could play that video.
Hey, everybody.
Good evening.
Let me say a few things before I take your questions. As you know, the special counsel released his findings today about their look into my handling of classified documents.
President Biden, something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you were not charged is because, in his description, you are a well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president, I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation.
How
totally
bad is your memory, and can you continue as president?
My memory is so bad, I let you speak. That's
your memory has gotten worse, Mr. President.
My memory is not good. My memory is fine. My memory, take a look at what I've done since I become president. None of you thought I could pass any of the things I got passed. How'd that happen? You know, I guess I just forgot what was going on.
Mr. President.
Do voters have concerns about your age? How are you going to assuage them? Do you fear that this report is only going to fuel further concerns about your age?
Only by some of you.
Mr. President, do you take responsibility for at least being careless with classified material?
I take responsibility for not having seen exactly what my staff was doing. It goes in and points out things that appeared in my garage, things that came out of my home, things that were moved not by me, but my staff.
They have expressed concerns about your mental acuity. They say that you are too old. Mr. President, in December, you told me that you believe there are many other...
Well, interesting, isn't it? So Jim Jordan played this chunk of the video really bolstering conclusion was that maybe they're pointing the finger more at his handlers, and that he is, this elder abuse. And yes, he's part of it, but that no jury would find him guilty because they wouldn't feel that he was really the one running and pulling the strings. What do you guys think? I'm ready to hear you guys your thoughts. All right, yeah, I see that one. Heartland lady, reinstate Trump. I'm telling you, that's the main thing. You know, it's about that if these people are, handling Joe and then want him to be in there for four more years, that tells you this is the end of the Democrat Party. It's the end. This is, no one believes that he is able to run to be president. You know, and he's up there saying, "Oh, I'm doing great." You know, yeah, right. And the whole world's saying you're not. Maybe you need to listen to them. All right. So then this one is where it says the report did not exonerate Joe. I thought this was some really good questions and succinct, because a lot of it was so much back and forth. Let's see if I can make this play for you. Come on, little guy, you can do it.
Their reasons was that they contested, or that they asserted that certain language in the report was inconsistent with DOJ policy.
The day that your report came out, the president gave a live news conference on national television. Did you watch that news conference?
I watched it.
That's the one I was just showing you that Jim Jordan played. Okay.
Press conference, yes.
What was your reaction to seeing the president personally attack you and your team?
Congressman, I'm here to talk about the work that went into the report and my declination decision and my explanation of it for the attorney.
And it wasn't just the president, Anthony Coley.
What he means by declination is declining to prosecute, to bring charges.
Former spokesman for Merrick Garland has said that Democrats should focus their ire on her. The president's personal attorney, Bob Bauer, said that your report is a shabby piece of work and a shoddy work product. Do you agree with that characterization of your report?
I disagree vehemently with that characterization of my report.
I also disagree. I think it's very well written, well considered, and comprehensive. Do you think it's appropriate for the administration to be attacking the work of a special counsel that it appointed itself?
Congressman, I'm not going to comment on the propriety of the administration's reaction to my report. What I can tell you is that I stand by the report and the work that went into it.
Today, the ranking member started his opening statement by saying, "Mr. Hur completely exonerated President Biden and called your report a total and complete exoneration." Mr. Hur, did you completely exonerate President Biden?
That is not what my report does.
Was your report a total and complete exoneration?
That is not what the report says.
So there you go. So, yeah, he did. That's not what he said. He said that he's not fit to stand trial. And he's saying that he willfully retained. So we all know Joe Biden is guilty. I think that, you know, I guess my point is that the big takeaway for us is that this is to being effective to pull down this criminal network, because they're trying to talk everyone into thinking that saying he's you know, he didn't do anything wrong and he took these documents and they don't have anything to say except that, you know, you can't hold him accountable. Right? But you can hold Trump accountable. And that was one of the, here I'm going to get to that video in a second, that they held, you know, say it's not, do you feel like it's equal justice? You know, and clearly it's not. So this is exposing them for who they are. And it's a two-tiered justice system. Anybody in the world would be held to an account except for those in the cabal. All right. So that's our main thing to get across to everyone. All right. So this was where, he said, did the White House ask you to change the report? Did you guys hear about this? Check it out.
Communicated with you regarding your investigation. Is that accurate?
We received a number of letters from White House counsel's office, and as well as the president's personal counsel.
Right. They're either special counsel or personal counsel. I see who signed the letters. And did the White House get the report before the report was made public?
We did provide a draft of the report to the White House counsel's office and members of the president's personal counsel team for their review.
No, I understand. And did the White House then, once they got the report before it went public, did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
Yeah, I see that in the February 5th letter. Did they only correspond with you?
I'm sorry, Congressman, are you?
So they tried to get him to change the report because they didn't want all of this. First of all, they were like, you're not gonna prosecute him. His boss wouldn't have allowed him to prosecute him anyway. And he can't call his boss out on the carpet, right? So that's number one. And then they didn't even want him to say, you know, all these things. But as he said in his opening statement, he was going to have to explain why, with all the evidence, the damning evidence, the clear evidence, why he wasn't going to bring these charges. It's so similar to Comey. Remember that? He says, "Oh, no prosecutor would bring such a case because you can't get, you know, against this mountain, this behemoth, you can't get anyone a guilty verdict." And he said he had like 500. He brought 500 cases that were prosecuted and found guilty. All right, so this one was, I don't remember this man's name. Let's see, it's on this one. His name is on here, whatever. Somebody can tell if they know what his name is. But this is mainly what he said. He says, Biden's intent to showcase his legacy is a motive for his actions. That right there goes to that he is not incapacitated, that he's in full faculty, has his faculties, because his what's his motive is for his legacy. He said, yes. Of course, I'm thinking the legacy, you know, is is trash. He says, were classified documents found in Biden's garage in badly damaged boxes. Yes. Biden won't face criminal charges because he's a well-meaning old man. And he talks about that there are well-meaning old people who didn't break any laws who have been prosecuted from January 6th. He says, the law must apply. You know this. I guess I'm talking myself into supporting her, that he knows this. Put yourself in his shoes. I don't know. One minute I do, one minute I don't. I don't know. With what happened to President Trump, does that give the appearance, it gives the appearance of two standards of justice. This is what we've got to bring home. This is completely unfair to have two standards of justice. We always say, and freedom and justice for all. Justice for all, right? That's what we say every time we say the Pledge of Allegiance. We have to have a country where there's justice for all. Has any president other than President Trump been criminally charged with retaining classified documents after they left office? No. He shouted that out. I mean, I was like surprised how loud that was. He didn't just go, no. He went, no. Listen to it. I'll have to play that. I'll have to play that, just that one little spot. I think I've got a little clip of it right here.
We stored classified documents in very unsecured places. We have a former vice president who will not suffer any consequences for all of these actions, all because we say, well, he's a well-meaning, forgetful old man. You know, if you were kind of a well-meaning, forgetful old man that was driving a car and you forgot what you were doing a little bit and you hit somebody and killed him, I believe you'd be responsible. The law must apply, you know this, to everyone. The standard behind the decision not to prosecute Joe Biden, especially in light of Special Counsel Jack Smith's decision to prosecute President Trump for similar conduct, gives the real appearance of two standards. Just again, so much part of this Department of Justice. Justice for thee, but not for me. Special Counsel Herr, has any former president or vice president besides President Trump ever been criminally charged for knowingly retaining classified information after they left office? Yes or no?
No.
Would you
There you go. I think that he realizes it. I don't know. We will find out. One day, this is not, the Lord Jesus told us not to judge anything before the time, because he'll make everything clear once he arrives. So we're going to get to know who's the naughty and who's nice, because those who are naughty, we're living in the day when they will be prosecuted. That's what this is all about. If you're new to my channel, we look at how this is biblical. This is the end times for them. And 1,000 years of peace for us. This is the time when justice will fall and they will be held to an account, and the entire house of cards, the entire cabal will fall. And so I had that book. It's a decode of Revelation, End Times and 1,000 years of Peace. The Bible also told us, all these minor prophets told us, and major clues from minor prophets. And also these 17 Bible stories told us, just like Moses holding up the arms. We're watching all of this incredible movie. All right, so I want you to see that. I think... Tell who that guy is, whatever his name is. Put it in the comments, because I don't remember. All right, so then Daryl Issa brought up, this was an interesting exchange, because he was trying basically to get him to say something, and he finally got him to say it. Let me see, I think I have it queued up.
Meaning my decision to the Attorney General as being, based on my judgment and my assessment of the evidence, would a conviction trial be the probable outcome?
And I just want to make sure the record is complete in that, because I think it's extremely important. You did not reach an idea that he had committed no wrong. You reached a conclusion that you would not prevail at trial.
It's Very important point. I thought that was one of the most succinct places in the entire day. You didn't find that he didn't do the crime. You didn't find that he was not guilty. You found that you wouldn't be able to bring this before a jury and get a conviction. Okay, did y'all catch that? That's the key takeaway. Check it out one more time.
You did not reach an idea that he had committed no wrong. You reached a conclusion that you would not prevail at trial and therefore did not take it forward. Is that correct?
Correct, Congressman.
That is correct, Congressman. There you go. That's the bottom line. All right. So I'm telling you, Gates, he's always on it. He's always the junkyard dog, and he's fighting. And of course, he is very angry, and I am too, that we can't get justice in this country, and there's a two-tier justice system. I'll play a little chunk of Gates. He's always very entertaining.
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was, among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents in the garage was a damaged open box. So here's what I'm understanding, right? As Mr. Armstrong laid out, you find in your report that the elements of a federal criminal violation are met, but then you apply this senile cooperator theory that because Joe Biden cooperated and the elevator didn't go to the top floor, you don't think you'd get a conviction. And I actually think you get to the right answer in that. I don't think Biden should have been charged. Don't think Trump should have been charged. But under the senile cooperator theory, isn't it frustrating that Biden continues to go out and lie about the basic facts of the report that lay out a federal criminal violation?
Congressman, I need to disagree with at least one.
Anyway, I just want to, I posted this over on the social media, so definitely go and check it out. If you can watch the whole thing of Gates, just search the word G-A-E-T-Z and you'll find it. But our time's going to run out. So this is the one where he asked this question. Do you think in the case of Jack Smith that justice is blind when it comes to Trump? I think I have this queued up. Check this out. Do you think it? Yeah, so I don't think he answered that question.
What actually mean?
Well, as I set forth at length in my explanations in chapters 11 and 12 of the report, my assessment is that the evidence, if presented at trial alongside potential defense arguments, would not probably result in a conviction.
Well, that's one of the points you make, is that President Biden's likely to be an elderly, sympathetic, a figure with a poor memory. But how does that bear on any individual's guilt or innocence? Isn't that, again, a question for a judge or jury to decide after guilt or innocence is determined?
It is.
And again, here's the problem. Donald Trump's being prosecuted for exactly the same act that you've documented that Joe Biden committed.
Congressman, if I understood your question correctly, you said, isn't that a question for a jury? And it most certainly, through the lens of...
My question is, does that bear on the guilt or innocence of an individual?
It certainly bears on how a jury is going to receive and perceive and make decisions.
So the answer to my earlier question is correct. All I have to do when I'm caught taking home classified materials is say, I'm sorry, Mr. Herbert, but I'm getting old. My memory's not so great.
Yeah, Congressman,
this is the doctrine that you've established in our laws now, and it's frightening.
Congressman, my intent is certainly not to establish any sort of doctrine. I had a particular task. I have a particular set of evidence to consider and make a judgment with respect to one particular set of evidence, and that is what I did.
Well, Mr. Herr, here's the fine point of the matter. The foundation of our justice system is equal justice under law. That's what gives the law its respect and its legitimacy. And without it, the law is simply force, devoid of any moral authority. Justice is depicted as blindfolded for this very reason. It doesn't matter who comes before her. All are treated equally. You destroy this foundation, and the rule of law becomes a sick mob.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Anyway, he did talk about
Congressman
Trump.
There was no evidence
before of the allegations in the indictment against former President Trump.
That the only person being prosecuted for this offense happens to be the president's political opponent makes this an unprecedented assault on our democracy. This is the worst we could expect from a banana republic. And I wonder how you square this.
Congressman, I do address, as I was...
I thought that Tom McClintock, I think that he did a very, very good job exposing what was going on. So that's just a little snippet of what happened today. It was quite the day and a lot of moving parts, a lot of testimony. And I didn't bring any clips from any of the Dems because it was just so much blah, 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 and blaming Trump, which is the same thing. I don't want to waste your time and mine on that. But this is what we really want to get out for everyone to see, is that it's clearly not equal justice. Clearly, and there's irrefutable evidence that he did this. He took the documents. He did not have them secure. He read them out to his ghostwriter. He had these there. And also, he admitted in the documents that he made $8 million from all of his evil deeds, and the whole point is he's getting away with this scot-free. And actually, John Solomon, I think that might be my next thing if I've got on here. Yeah, John Solomon said, "Oh yeah, they're going to expose Biden's inability to keep the facts straight, but that he kept documentary evidence of the Burisma case and the firing of prosecutor Victor Shokin. Remember that one? Son of a bee. He got fired. Well, he's clearly in control of his faculties that he can get this guy fired. He's clearly able to take those documents about how they did this so they could keep their Hunter's feet out of the fire. And Hunter also, they kept documents where Hunter was paid $5 million to keep his cronies out of prosecution because clearly they're in control of the DAs. So he did all this, but, you know, he's not being held to an account because no jury would find him guilty. That's really the bottom line. I mean, put yourself in his shoes. And he could do this, go through all this, and spend all this money, and all, you know, and it wouldn't bring a guilty verdict. It would just move to destroy him. This is why I believe it's going to have to be military tribunals, because this is crimes against our country of treason, and so we're not going to be able to get this resolved, as we've learned many times. Long ago, that this is going to have to be from a military tribunal. So John Solomon said that, but they didn't bring. If you saw it, I didn't see where they brought up anything about Burisma at all. I didn't see anything about that today. So I saw about the $8 million. I didn't even hear anything about the $5 million. And John Solomon says some of the latest stuff that's coming out is about all these lies manufactured. Completely manufactured by the Biden administration. Remember that Hutchinson girl? She had to go up and say and admit, her attorneys had to admit, I think it was 15 pages. 15 pages of lies. That's a lot of lying. That's a lot of lying. So, yeah, so I'm thinking they call that perjury. Yeah, but this is entirely made up out of whole cloth that he's reaching with these gigantic arms of his to grab the steering wheel. I mean, it's really... Come on, can you come up with better lies than that? Anyway, but that's what John Solomon brought up. Okay, the couple of things before we go. I want to show you this, that this man, his name is, I don't have his name right here. His name is this whistleblower. He was warning over aviation's giant flagship 787 Dreamliner and 737 Max weeks before he was found dead. As FAA reveals, failed 33 of 89 audits and used Dawn soap for lubricant. What in the world is going on with Boeing? Check it out.
Hey, you're right. We're going to fix it. After the merger with McDonnell Douglas and the Airbus coming on, Boeing quit listening to their employees. So every time I'd raise my hand and say, hey, we got a problem here, they would attack the messenger and ignore the message.
So now he's been found dead. He was going to testify, and now he's been found dead. This is the same, constantly. Those who raise their head to speak out and blow the whistle, they continually get in all this trouble. I want you guys to check it out. I posted several things over on my social media about this guy. I want you to know about that. I want you to know that they're talking about TikTok. We got to get rid of TikTok. TikTok's horrible. Let me just tell you something. If the Congress doesn't like TikTok, maybe we need to keep it. And I understand about the CCP and understand all that. Okay, so what's going to be very interesting, because the other Mr. Wonderful, my husband's the real Mr. Wonderful, but the other Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary and Chris Pavlovsky of Rumble, both want to buy TikTok. Now, if they don't allow the CCP to run TikTok in America, then they will likely sell them this portion of TikTok, whatever. I don't know how they would do it exactly. They would go ahead and buy it. Interesting. Everybody's wanting to buy TikTok. And I am very happy with TikTok that they are a free platform that is exposing what's going on in Gaza. And that, if they do nothing else, that is their claim to fame to save America, to save the world. And okay, fine. I'm sure they're stealing all of our data. Guess what? So is Facebook. So was Twitter. So I would love it if Kevin O'Leary or Pavlovsky took it, because then we would have our data protected. That would be great. So I just wanted you to be aware that that's what's the latest thing that's going on. Here's his letter. Dear Mr. Chu, in the event that ByteDance divests its ownership in TikTok, Rumble is ready to join a consortium with other parties seeking to acquire and operate TikTok inside the United States. Specifically, we're ready to serve as a cloud technology partner. Yesterday, Rumble announced the public launch of the Rumble Cloud, a new infrastructure as a service offering the champion the free and open internet. All data on the Rumble Cloud is stored safely and securely at sites inside the U.S. on Rumble's own neutral and independent infrastructure. How about that? Kudos to Rumble. I'm glad we're over here on Rumble. But I'm so thankful that we have Rumble, right? Aren't you guys? But we've been able to speak the truth over here for a long time. I'm not going to play this whole thing. I just want you to know that now that Laura Trump is the co-chair of the GOP, heads are rolling. So many people have lost their jobs over there, and they should, because they were doing, just basically doing the bidding of Ron McDaniel. We cannot have these cronies, these people who are running, just basically running the GOP into the ground. Now you know that if you want to donate, I've been donating to DonaldTrump.com, but now we can donate to the GOP. We need this for the coffers to be full, so that we can run this election and bring in not just Trump, but all the other people. So we are good to go. Now it's very exciting. They're all upset that all these people are being fired. I love it. Love it. Mate, I'm telling you, all day it's been one good thing after another. So really just enjoy the winning and the winning and the winning. The other thing is they have said that no more children in Britain are going to be given these puberty blockers. Praise the Lord. So we've had several praises this today. I'm so thankful we're seeing this. And it reminded me of this passage in Revelation 19. It says, I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. Of course, this is our Lord Jesus, and we are his army, and they're fighting against us. But this beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast, who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and the false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding on the white horse, and the vultures gorged themselves on the dead bodies. This is the bloodbath. They even called this that a bloodbath on the at the GOP. That was pretty cool. At the RNC. This is the end of the road for them. This is the end of the road. This is the end of their rule over us. And very, very exciting. And so just enjoy the show and watch as they get completely destroyed every day. And don't forget, April 8th, we're going to have that solar eclipse. The second solar eclipse. Okay, the last one, I want you to remind you of this one. Yeah. Interesting about her. You can find this in, I think it's the book of Numbers. You can find this story. And actually, I think I have it on freedomforce.live, where I have done all these videos in the playlist. And you can just search the word Moses or her, and you will see it. I just find that very interesting that is his name. All right, guys, I should have been out of here 10 minutes ago. But I just want to come on tonight. One step at a time, we're going to get all this working. And don't forget to like this video. Don't forget to share it. Don't forget to go over on the Facebook.com/MelissaRedPill and join with us there so that we can start sharing. Hopefully, the more and more people come over there, and I'm going to start posting more. If you guys can help me, then we can go ahead and start doing lives over there, because there's a lot of people on Facebook who need to hear it. I heard that it won't get slammed if we do the streaming. Isn't that interesting? We will see. And don't forget about the x.com/ Melissa Redpill. Definitely go and like over there. And yeah, if you haven't gotten the books yet, get them. They will make you so happy. You will know that this is the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. This is the end of their evil cabal. This is the end. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for all of our wonderful Freedom Force Battalion. Thank you that we get to join together and chat it up together and learn from each other and help each other and fight alongside each other. What an honor, what a blessing, and that you, Lord Jesus, are leading the charge. As you say in, I think it's Joel 2, you lead us with a shout. We're so excited that you are going to rule this earth. You're going to dwell with us, and everyone will know you from the least to the greatest. And you say that we'll look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them, that these will be gone, and that this is the end of them. We're so excited to see them being exposed day after day after day, and we're going to see the complete destruction of these enemies and go in the meek. We'll inherit the earth. Beautiful days. Excited. Thank you so much, Lord. Bless us so we can bless everyone else. Bless this world. And we pray for those in Haiti. We pray you protect the righteous. If they're already righteous, I don't even know, Lord. You know. And I just pray that for those who are the suffering ones in Gaza, we pray you protect them, protect the innocents, and expose the guilty, Lord, those who are doing this evil against humanity. Protect the righteous in Ukraine. Protect those who are trying to denazify Ukraine. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless our wonderful president and continue to strengthen him and help everyone to join the bandwagon and all of us join together, of every color, of every age, every creed, that we'd all join together and to fight our common enemy, this evil cabal. We just pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. I love you so much. I've got to go. And so thank you for being so patient with me. I'm getting all this stuff worked out. And I guess that's it. I hate to even say goodbye, but I'm going to say goodbye for now. And let me see if I can find the thing. Find the right button. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later.